The passage for today's message is found in John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. And Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple court, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this point, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older one first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still hanging there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." The key verse for today is in Psalm chapter 130, verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. Let's all read one more time the key verse. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. The title of today's message is Defended by God. Let's turn our heart toward God. Many years before, they put together a survey. Who among you believe that you will go to heaven? There are 87% who responded, they believe they will go to heaven. The next question is, in all of the great personalities, who will go to heaven? And among them is Mother Teresa, who received 79% of the person responded that she will go to heaven. How about the talk show host Oprah Winfrey, 66%. And then on the list is Bill Clinton. There were 52% voted him to go to heaven. And the famous pastor Pat Robertson, he got 47%. And how about Dennis Rodman? A famous basketball player, he got a survey of 28% believe that he will go to heaven. And also, O.J. Simpson, he got 19% people voted for him for heaven. Your congregation, these show that people value other people based on their opinion. Like Mother Teresa, only 79% of all those responded think that Mother Teresa will go to heaven. That means net of 69% of the survey, people survey. This number is not reality, right? But the key point is not other people who would say we go to heaven, but do we get accepted by God? And now, the title of today's message, God defended by God, based on John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. to this story and also the key verse. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. So we can, with reverence, serve you. God wants us to have eternal life according to our reference to Him. But with you there is forgiveness, verse 4. With the reverence of God, we can find salvation through repentance. Let's all pray to be guided by your, His word. Though many respect us, admire us, or people don't like us, or there were people who were before have a good admiring of you, but now no longer there. There's one thing that we are being blessed with, that is, we are defended by God. May the word of God guide us to how to be defended by God. And if we are defended by God, how is we are to conduct our life? Let's all pray. Dear our Heavenly Father, this morning is the day of rest. We come together to worship you, though we are at our own house. But our hearts are united in worship, and we hope that you will use your own word to guide us, to encourage, to correct our shortcomings, and give us a comforting word, because we have been divided by them. May the Holy Spirit teach us, teach myself, teach each one of us. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation, in the past few days, there are riots around the country. In those days, President Trump went to St. John's Church. Those that have been attending every one single president. And Trump has a Bible in his hand. And he wrote that up. He said that, according to my belief, this is a great country. And after that, on the internet, there was a picture that is Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, is ripping Bible. A friend of mine has sent me this image and said that Nancy Pelosi has ripped the Bible to deny what President Trump has declared. I have seen a few video clips that have been posted, and I saw that Nancy Pelosi has used the Bible to extract the verse in the Bible and put out certain ideas to go against President Trump. But she did not rip the Bible. And that kind of picture that I received of Pelosi ripping is really a fake image. Before she ripped the message to the Congress from President Trump, and they used that, and they put into the Photoshop instead of the speech, the Bible. And from there, the ripping of this Bible has been sent to many on the internet. Dear congregation, there will be, we respect Pelosi, and so many will condemn her for this action. But these fake pictures has caused to send to many people to achieve certain agenda. Those we may have some people admiring us or hate us, but the one who loves us will always love us until the end. But if God, remember our sin. There's no one to be alive today in front of God. He will forgive us for our reverence for Him. These are the Bible passages today. We'll examine 3 points. What God has done for us. The first is, God defends us when we are accused. God will defend us when we are sentenced. And the third point is, God will defend us when we are condemned. So we'll examine each point. First point is, God will defend us when we are being accused. This Bible story we read, Jesus went back to the temple courts, and all the people gathered around him and sat down to hear Jesus. And then the Pharisee and the teacher of the law has brought a woman who caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" This is the time Jesus at the temple. There are a big crowd, but we see that there are people who try to track Jesus. They didn't use this time to worship, but use this time to find a way to trap Jesus by bringing this woman. These kind of women should be stoned. And how about you? What do you say? And Jesus said, Jesus just sat down, started to write on the ground with his finger. Jesus did not answer them directly, immediately. They questioned him many times. Because of that, he answered them. This reminded us of a story in Ezekiel. "I take no pleasure in the death of anyone," declares the sovereign Lord. "Repent and live." So Ezekiel, God does not take pleasure in the death of those who deserve one, but He wants us to all repent and have eternal life. Here Jesus did not condemn this woman. He did not in a hurry condemn those who brought this woman in front of the crowd. He just bent down and wrote on the ground. What did Jesus write? Maybe this action reminded us that there is a writing on the wall in the Old Testament that made Babylon worry, and that is Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5 verse 5 and 6. Belshazzar has took the silver and gold goblets that Nebuchadnezzar has captured from Jerusalem and brought back to Babylon. And Belshazzar now used the goblets to throw a party for his guests to make fun of the Jews and the God of the Jews. And during this party, there is a finger, only a finger, a hand on the wall, writing these words, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin," and nobody understood what those writing was. And when Belshazzar saw that, and his was trembling, his knee was clapping, and then his whole body felt like a terror overtaking him. And Daniel was invited to explain, to see the meaning of the writing on the wall. And Melchizedek told by Daniel that God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it into the end. And that night, the Medes and the Persians overtook Babylon and established a new empire, the Persian Empire. Dear congregation, the hand of God has told Belshazzar, God has numbered you and weighed you on the scale. And Jesus wrote down on the ground that when people were asking him, he did not yet answer. I thought that maybe Jesus wrote the names of the person in front of them. Those who God put on the scale, or those people who wrote and see their iniquities. They condemn this woman. Is the type of woman that must be stoned to death. God is not surprised that we're a sinner, but he is concerned is that who will be found sinless before God? And only those people whose sins are forgiven can have everlasting life. From when Adam was a committed sin, all of sin, we are the same. We may have different kind of sin in our lives, but all we are sinners before God. Jesus is very concerned for this woman because she was used by a lure to find a trap to trap Jesus. And Jesus, if Jesus answered, this one woman must be forgiven. And they will tell Jesus, you have destroyed the Moses, the law. The sinner, the serious sin, must be stoned to death. And if Jesus said, if Jesus said, we need to stone, and then they question her about his law. So, what did Jesus teach and what teaches action would it be in conflict? And Jesus can solve this in the heart of those who are trying to trap her. Why do these Pharisees want to stone this woman? Not because this woman was not actually being caught in the act. But they just want to show that they are keeping the law of Moses. But in this story, when this woman, according to verse 6, they were using this question as a trap, verse 6, in order to have basis for accusing Jesus. Either way, the answer would not be acceptable to the people who brought this woman to in front of the crowd. These people, the Pharisees and law teachers, hate Jesus, and this hatefulness expresses by the fact that they brought this woman in front of the crowd to trap Jesus. They have a hate, but they didn't see that their hatefulness is also a sin, just the sin committed by this woman. All these people have a wicked heart because they already sacrificed her to trap Jesus. But they did not see that their wickedness is also a sin that must deserve to be forgiven. Or the Pharisee and the law, teacher of the law, they could not express the love to the sinners, but ready with a stone to stone this woman to death. They show that they keep the law of Moses strictly, and because of that, they have committed a great sin. In Leviticus, when there is a woman and man committed sin, both will be put to death. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10. Both should be stoned. But here, where is this man? Only the woman who committed adultery was brought. Maybe they have, because of their hate for Jesus, they put together a story for a man to lure this woman to make her commit adultery, and then people would try to catch her in the act to brought in before Jesus. They kept the law of Moses, but not a complete one. God has given the Mosaic law when the Jews were saved from Egypt. After they were being saved out of slavery from Egypt. The law is not for the Jews to be kept, to be saved. And after they are being saved, and at Sinai, God gave his law through Moses. So the keeper of the law is not to be saved, but we keep the law because we are saved first. It's not for them. The law is not for action to be done to be saved. But once we've been saved, we can keep the law. So keeping the law is something we ought to do. Not to keep the stone in the hand ready to stone anyone, but keeping the law by our heart, to know that we are being saved by grace. When they are respected, the law of teacher of the law and the Pharisee, they were respected. When even them despised what Jesus stood for, Jesus sacrificed himself to save us. We are not just to see the speck of sardis in our brother's eye, but pay no attention to the plank in our own eyes. When we have a plank in our eye, we have to remove that first, and then we will see and to take the speck out of our brother's eyes. Those who condemn this woman are only see the sardis in our eye, but never saw the plank in their own eyes. Of course, these people, they are used to seeing the basin of wash in the temple before serving the Lord. They have to wash themselves. And at the holy, at the most holy in the temple, there is a basin of water made of bronze, and all the priests went into the temple to sacrifice in the temple, or they have to do something into this temple in the Old Testament to light the candles or to burn incense or to put the showbread on the table. They have to wash themselves in this basin made of bronze. This is not just a formality, but the Bible in verse 20, chapter 20 in Ezekiel. Whenever they enter the tent of the meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. If they don't understand the love of God, when they went into the temple to serve the Lord, they would not experience the mercy of God. God said this thing to talk to the people who condemn women, their action. It's just like Satan's action. Never stop condemning the believers before God. Because Satan does not want us to receive blessing from God. doesn't matter whether the sin is big or small. When we are committed sin, and the Satan will condemn us before the Lord. To be defended by God is something because God does not remember our sin. If God keeps the record, our sin would not have eternal life, but He is ready to forgive us of our sin. And so that when Paul said in Romans chapter 8 verse 3, who will condemn the elect of God? God declare us righteousness. God will condemn, Satan will condemn us before God. But God, He has the right to forgive us and make us righteous. Because God will defend us. He will defend us when we are being accused. The second point is that God will defend us when we are being sentenced. God said to this woman, any one of you who never sinned, throw the first stone. Whoever has not committed any sin. Jesus did not say whether or not one should stone this woman. But He posed a question to all who condemn this woman. Who among you is without sin? Be the first to throw a stone at her. Jesus did not say otherwise about this woman committing adultery. But for to those who condemn Him, are they sinners too? This event let us see that she was completely silent. She accepted her fate. She deserved death. And all this thing, the woman acknowledged that she deserved death. Before God, there is only sin or no sin. But whether we have many sins, large sins, serious sins, or not serious sins. When Jesus said this, one by one walked away from the old to the young. One by one leaving, because each one knows in their heart they have committed sin. Before God, they know they were sinners. They didn't commit the sin that this woman, but in one way or another, they are sinners before God. So that they have not enough a standard to condemn and carry out this act. So Jesus said, any one of you is without sin, be the first to throw the stone. None of the people there met the standard that God has put out. The oldest one first. Why? The older we are, the more sins we committed. All have recognized that none of the people there can condemn this woman. They just used this woman to trap Jesus, but they did not accomplish what they set out to do. When they have a stone in their hand, and that person could not understand, or that person has forgotten the grace that that person has been forgiven, until the stone is dropped from the hand. This story about a young boy. One day, he stole a watermelon. And he was caught and stood before the judge to be sentenced. And the judge about to pronounce a sentence on this young boy. And before that, declared the sentence, the judge asked, Have you anything you wish to say before I pass sentence upon you? And the boy thought for a moment and then said, with a question, Judge, have you ever stolen a watermelon? And the whole room broke out with a laughter in the courtroom. The judge thought for a moment and pounded the gravel of order, looked at the boys, and he said, no cross-examination allowed of the judge. Case dismissed. The congregation, this judge, knew he has already stolen a watermelon, but nobody caught him. He was fortunate that he was not caught. But this boy before him, this little boy was caught in a pen. But when this boy posed a question, he looked at himself and he said, case dismissed. Now God, when God declared, whoever has no sin, the Lord said, throw the stone. He's not concerned with this woman only, but also to those who brought this woman there, the Pharisee, the teachers of the law. Not only Jesus concerned for this woman, but also those who teachers of the law who are bringing this woman to the crowd. When he created Adam committed sin. And then God declared that Adam must die. Adam is not supposed to eat the tree in the middle of the garden. One day, if anyone eat that fruit, forbidden fruit, will die. And for disobedience, Adam and Eve must die. They listened to Satan to disobey God and eat the forbidden fruit. And they are die with respect to God. In God's own eyes, they don't have a relationship with God. They are not close to God in the Garden of Eden. And they were pushed away. However, the more wonderful thing is that God can save us through repentance. In Adam, all have died, but in Christ, all shall live. And the law that God has put to us that in Adam, all will die. But God has a way for us to be saved, that in Christ, we all shall live. And all those who condemn this woman has walked away. In verse 9, we read, there remained Jesus with this woman. And Jesus did not walk away, demonstrate that he is sinless. The fact that he remained with this woman means that he is the only one without sin. Any one of you who has not sinned, be the first to throw a stone. Everyone walked away except Jesus. Because Jesus, he is. God declared, this is my son. In him I am well pleased. And that being has the authority to forgive sin. The crown can give us our own value based on our iniquities. However, our Jesus not only defended us, but also when we are being condemned. The third point is that we are defended when we are being condemned. After those condemned have left, Jesus asked the woman, "Where are they?" "Woman, has no one condemned you?" Jesus said in verse 10. She said, "No one, sir." And then Jesus declared, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." Dear congregation, though this woman is a victim in this event, but Jesus, he does not side with the crowd to condemn this woman. But Jesus told this woman, "I will not condemn you either." Did Jesus forget about her sin? Did he not know about the sinful condition of this woman? It's very serious. Be condemned to death according to Mosaic law? No, Jesus did not forget. He knows exactly her sinful condition. Deserved to die. But Jesus forgave her. "I will not condemn you." It doesn't mean that the sin is not there, because Jesus has God attribute. He is not pleased because those who will die because of their sin. But when one person repents, that will be pleasing to God, and that person will receive eternal life. Jesus said, "Go now." He did not push her to a corner, but Jesus opened a way for this woman. Jesus said, "Go now and leave your life of sin. From now on, do not sin." He did not look at her past. Jesus did not look at her past. But Jesus knows this is not the first time that this woman committed adultery. She has a very bad history. When Jesus looked at her, she was quiet. Witness the condemnation of the crowd. He did not look at the history of this woman, but only to her future. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Maybe this woman did not understand what everyone wanted to stone him, and now Jesus did not count her as sinful. She did not understand. Until one day, when the crowd wanted to crucify Jesus, nail him to the cross. Maybe she's among the crowd. Look at the person who want to be nailed on the cross is the same Jesus who defended her. "I will not condemn you." At the cross, when Jesus was nailed on the cross, she could hear Jesus say, "Dear Father, please forgive them, for they do not what they do." When Jesus prayed that, that doesn't mean that Jesus asking God to not count the sin of the world, but Jesus just wanted to say, "Please consider no sin to be my own sin. Forgive them." Means that do not condemn them until I complete the mission of paying for their sin. This is what God has done to this. Jesus has done to this woman. Jesus has done this for those who condemn this woman. This is the action that God has done for us on the cross. Truly, it's very difficult to understand a righteous God to condemn sin. but even more difficult to understand when God is a loving God, merciful God, agreed to die for their sins. Jesus has done everything for us. Jesus paid for our sin, something we could not resolve on our own. Adam and Eve has eaten the forbidden fruit in disobedience because one day Adam and Eve has committed disobedience and be separated from God. Their eyes were opened when they see themselves naked before God. They took the leaves and covered themselves. That clothes of leaves can only cover the shameful between themselves, but not to cover the shamefulness before God. So that in the afternoon, when they were heard the voice of God, they were afraid and hid themselves. When God saw that they committed sin against Him, the Bible says, God has sacrificed an animal and used a skin to make clothes for Adam and Eve. And what God did doesn't mean that the skin of the animal is better than the leaves that Adam and Eve made for themselves as clothes. But it can only mean that we can only be accepted by God through a sacrificial lamb of God. The sin of this woman has been paid by Jesus. And that price of sin is paid on the cross by the sacrifice of Jesus. The sin of those who condemned this woman have been forgiven. Yes, they have been forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. In Psalm 103, our sin will not be paid by our own action, but by Jesus' action. The thing is, God does not treat us according to our sin, but He has had a way out. Jesus accepted the punishment instead of us. He accepted the punishment instead of the woman. He accepted the action of those who condemned this woman by carrying our sin on the cross. This woman, from now on, she will no longer commit sin. This is based on how she has made a decision after she's been forgiven. She has been defended by Jesus. Now it's her decision. Even those who condemn this woman, maybe they have dropped the stone from their hand today, and will they pick up another stone at some point to throw at some other sinner? Maybe they drop the stone here, but at some other place they pick up another stone, perhaps? This Pharisee or the teacher of the law who were hating Jesus, even those is you or me, we are sinners before God. God has a way to defend us. And that is, Jesus has prayed, "Dear God, please forgive them, for they know not what they do," as Jesus was nailed on the cross. There's a pastor named George Chalmers has recounted his story as follows. One day, he went to the temple and he took in his hand a birch cage. And before entering his office there, there's a believer told, "Why did you bring this empty cage here? And there's no birds inside." George Thomas recounted to those around him, "Yesterday, when he went into the forest, there's a boy. He has a cage, this cage in his hand. I asked him, what is inside the cage? And the boy said, these are the birds that I caught. How did you catch these birds? Oh, it's easy. I just put a little bit of lure inside, and all the birds can come in, and I close the door behind me. And what will you do with these birds?" And the boy said, "I will go home to give them to my cat, to feed my cat." "Why do you do that? That is so wicked. Why don't you let them go?" The boy said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And the pastor said, "So, would you sell them to me? I want to buy them." The boy said, "Oh, they are worth nothing. They are not the kind that can sing in the morning. They are worthless." But the pastor said, "I want to buy them. Why don't you sell them to me? How much?" The spouse then said, "I will sell whatever money you have in your pocket. How much do you have?" And he took out his wallet. There's only a $20 bill inside. "These birds are not even worth a dollar." And the boy took the $20 bill and gave the cage to the pastor. "Here, I sell you these birds." And then the boy ran away. George Thomas took the wood cage, bringing them into the temple, said, "I want to bring this cage to tell you a story, a different story." One day, Jesus saw Satan with a cage in his hand, and he asked Satan, "What do you have in your cage?" And Satan answered, "Oh, this cage has the souls of many in there." "How did you capture the soul in this cage?" Satan laughed and said, "Only a few prophets of this world. Everybody wants to come into my cage." Jesus said, "What would you do with the souls in the cage?" Satan said, "I will make them suffer. They will not receive the blessing that God has reserved for them." Jesus said, "Why did you do such wicked things? Let them go." Satan said, "No, I'm not going to let them." Jesus said, "So, were you willing to sell them for me? I want to buy them." Satan said, "Why do you want to buy these souls? They don't do anything good for you. They are sinners." But Jesus said, "Yes, I want to buy them. Sell them to me." "And how much would you sell them?" Satan said, "I will sell them to you by all your blood and your tears. Would you buy them?" Jesus said, "Yes, I agree." And Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross by his own blood. With all his loving tears, and he prayed, "Please forgive them, for they know them, not they do." He released all those souls into his church. From now on, leave your life of sin. And by his grace, this woman has a new life. By God's grace, you and I receive a new life, a complete life. God has done all that is needed to save us. The rest is based on our decision. Don't ask whether this woman has made any decision for herself, but we have to ask ourselves. Don't ask about the same questions the Pharisee or the teachers of the law. We have to ask ourselves. We need to have an answer before Jesus. What do we do before God's grace, when He has paid for all of our sins? To say to us, from now on, live your life for sin. May God bless you. May God encourage you and me to have a life worthy and pleasing to Him. God has defended us when we were being accused. He defended us when we are sentenced, and He also defended us when we were condemned. He forgave our sins so that we have a reverence to experience the everlasting life in Jesus. Let's all pray. Be our Heavenly Father. We thank you for all that Jesus has done on the cross. Way above our understanding. Something Jesus done that no one can do. We can only condemn. We can only accuse others. We can only bring others into our judgment. But we are defended when Satan condemns us. And Jesus has defended us when God condemned us to death. He carried our sin on the cross for us so that myself and people in the congregation have a life of freedom in Christ. May we see your love ready for to go forgive us when we have a reverence for you. Please help us in the day to come that we will receive your word to go and live your life of sin. Please help us a life worthy of your love. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.